Well, good morning. Boy, it's a nice, cool, crisp morning, isn't it? I don't know why. I've been rubbing my hands all morning, and my feet are hot, and my hands are cool, but I'll get that figured out eventually. I guess I'd rather be that way than the other way. I'm not sure which way I'd rather have it. But anyway, we're glad you're here this morning. Looking forward to another wonderful Lord's Day, and it's hard to believe that, 156 weeks ago, I became the pastor here at Harvest Baptist Church. 3 years on this Sunday. It was on the 22nd, but it was the fourth Sunday of the month. And time flies when you're having fun. Amen. Looking forward to the day and the services and years of ministry to come. So let's pray for one another. And as I go to the Lord in prayer, in just a moment, our choir will come sing for us. You go ahead and pray with me. Ask the Lord to help you to tune in. As my wife says, sometimes it has to remind me, be in the moment. Right here where you're at, and enjoy the worship, enjoy the fellowship of one another. Let's pray together. Father, we do love you so much, and thank you for your goodness to us, your love for us, and Lord, just a joy of service and fellowship. Pray that you'd help us, Lord, to purpose in our hearts to be in the moment today, to worship, to enjoy the time together as we fellowship and sing and lift our voices and praise unto thee. Father, I pray that you work in the hearts and lives of everyone present this morning, those who are still making their way in. Lord, that you would just help us to enjoy in the comfort of knowing your very presence with us today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good.
Again, as we approach this time of worship, as we worship together in the giving of our tithes and offering, God has been so good to us here at Harvest, and we want to continue to do what the Lord have us to do and trust and continue to receive His blessings. So as we prepare to give this morning, Brother Leonard, would you ask God's blessings upon our offerings this morning?
Father, thank you so much for this, another glorious day here in southern Arizona. Father, we thank you for Harvest Baptist Church. We thank you for your attendance with us this morning, Father, and we just praise our great God for who you are. And Father, we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus, who made even this gathering even possible today. And Father, as part of our worship now, we want to give back a portion of what you have given to us this week. And Father, we pray that you accept the gifts, the tithes, the offerings, Father, that are given, Father, for the furtherance of the work that this church can do to support missionaries throughout the world, Father, for the community affairs that we're involved in, Father, for the support of this ministry, this church. And Father, we just thank you for the honor and privilege we have of this great service and worship towards you, Father. Thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Okay, so remember, as we go to the Lord in prayer together, of course, to pray for one another, pray for our church, pray for our community, pray for our political leaders, but most importantly, let's pray for the service that's about to take place, right? And let the Lord to help me as I preach. I'd be honored, honorable unto Him and nothing else. And then, of course, as we pray for our, as I pray for our men and our ministries here at Harvest Baptist Church, let's go before the Lord together, if we would. Father, as we come before Thy throne this morning, we do praise You and thank You for Your goodness to us, for Your blessings upon us. Thank You for the joy of service and the joy of fellowship. Lord, thank You. And Lord, help us not to take for granted the leisures that we have and the comforts we have here at Harvest Baptist Church. We have a building. It's paid for. We have padded pews and temperature-controlled air. And Lord, You've just been so good to us. And Lord, help us to not take for granted some of the little things. Sometimes it's so easy to overlook and to take for granted. Father, we live in a country that we are free to worship. Lord, we can preach. Your pastor can preach the word. The people can hear and receive the preaching of the word. We could respond as the Holy Spirit directs and works in our life. And Father, help us to always be grateful, alert, and aware of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we respond accordingly. Father, help us remember that we just don't come to church on Sunday to check a box because it's Sunday. It's a day of rest. It's a day of worship. But Lord, we've come here to not only to be a blessing, but Lord, to receive one and to respond to the preaching and teaching of Thy word that might help us to grow in our walk. Father, I thank You for the wonderful ministries that we have here at Harvest Baptist Church. Thank You for our ladies who labor here through the nursery, through classrooms, through ladies' Bible studies, and Lord, other things around the church and projects. We are so grateful for their willingness to serve, and we pray that You continue to bless them as they strive to be that godly Proverbs 31 woman in their life, of their family. Lord, I thank You for those who work in the children's church, Lord, that work security, those who are involved in the sound booth, and Lord, in other aspects of property care around the facilities. Lord, we are so grateful for those who give of themselves as a minister to their church family through taking care of the little things around the property. And Lord, I thank You for the men of Harvest and those men that are visiting with us today. I pray that You would encourage them. They receive a blessing from the preaching of Thy word today. I pray that you would use them to be a blessing. Help them all strive to be, not only to be mentored and challenged, but also to take what they have learned and invest that into the life of others. Lord, help us to strive to be godly men. Pray that you'd give us and protect us, Lord. Protect our eyes, protect our ears, protect our tongue, Lord. Help us to be willing to and daring to dare willingly to submit ourselves to you, that we might be used of you in a way that only you know and see fit to use in our life. We all have different talents and different abilities, but Lord, we all have availability to allow ourselves to be used of you. So Lord, I pray that you would use us and the men of Harvest to set that godly example at home in our community and here at church. And now, Father, I pray that you would bless the reading of your word that's to come here in just a moment. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would use it. Pray that you'd help me, give me clarity of thought, mind, and speech, and help me to be obedient unto thee in that time that I spent with you in preparation today. Not to be concerned about what others may say, what others may think, or who may or may not be here, Lord, but be obedient to thee and help me to be a source of blessing and encouragement. Now, Father, again, do what only you can do today in our midst. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Right here in our text this morning before our special music in 2 John in verse 8. We have spent the last two, I think today's the third week on verse 8. I think we might get one more week out of it. It won't be a year like we were in 1 John and 2 John, but we'll make our way to verse number 9 sometime in February. But so let me go ahead and read verse 8 once again. Look to yourselves, and that's been the challenge, a loving warning to heed. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward.
Soon these plans.
Thank you, ladies. Before we start the message this morning, I just want to make a few comments. And I know we know this, but sometimes it's good for us to be reminded. But churches grow stronger together when relationships grow deeper. And it's important that we do spend time together. I don't want us to ever, as a church, come to the point that we leave and we say, we'll see you next Sunday. Again, churches grow stronger together as relationships grow deeper. And the more we spend time together, the more we fellowship together, the more we do things together. Iron sharpeneth iron, like our Tuesday morning time. Ladies getting ready to start the weekly Bible study in February. It's an opportunity to get to know each other. As you grow spiritually together, those roots grow deeper, and I think it makes an impact. And if you don't think this works, let me give you a good example. Just be honest. John, can you tell me anything good about Rob? Not a thing. Now, they can say that because they've only been friends for a couple of years, but they've really have grown their relationship as they've worked together and fellowship together around the church doing things. I come out here, and it's like the Odd Couple. I mean, I come out here and I listen to them work. Sometimes I want to come by just because I feel like I need to laugh. I mean, they have a good time together, working together. They cut up, they tease one another, and they get things done. And at the same time, whether they realize it or not, they're building each other. They're establishing roots and relationships that grow deeper that makes an impact on our church as well as that flows over. Because those relationships grow deeper, and you want good, solid, rooted relationships in your local church family. Because if there ever comes a time that you have a need, you know that you can make a phone call. In a matter of minutes, several people will be praying for you and your family. You can have any other need, maybe some even around your property, and word gets around that you have a need, that you're working on something. And if it let it be known that you might have some folks show up and want to help out or ask if they can help in any way. It's all about relationships. And as we look at that aspect of family, faith, family, and fellowship. We work in our four P's and aspects of parishioner care, pastoral care, property care, and proclamation care, and getting involved in ministering in our community, ministering to one another here at church, and not just on Sundays and Wednesdays, but as we have opportunity through the week. Men's fellowship on Tuesday, ladies' fellowship on Thursday, as we develop those relationships, get to know one another better. And that's something that you learn about. Over the last 3 years, again, this being the three-year mark for Michelle and I as far as the fourth Sunday of the month, and I've learned a little bit more about each of you, some of you a little more than others because you've been here longer, some because we spend a little more time together in certain projects and working on some of the other things. And I never would have thought. I mean, I'll give you an example. How many would have ever thought Brother Mel, Dr. Ahadi over here, grew up on a farm? Unless you've been around him, may not have known it, but he did. But I tell you what, he's a smart man. I don't know what those cows taught him in the barn, but they taught him something. He's got a twin brother. You know, things we learn as we spend time together. Some of you that spent time in the military. Some of you retired from the military. Some of you still involved in some way with that type of first responders in service. And we learn that by getting to know one another and time with one another as we learn something about him. Helps me understand a little bit more whether Brother Mill was or was not kicked by a cow, but we'll leave that for another conversation. But we get to know each other well by spending time together. All right, let's move a little forward this morning. I've read my text this morning, and we've talked about a loving warning to heed. This is part three this morning. And we said, number one, look out and examine yourselves. And see, the Bible provides principles for us about examination of self. And we have looked at four principles over the last few weeks. The difficulty of self-examination, the reasons for self-examination, a desire for purity will lead to self-examination, and self-examination should include the Lord. And so today we'll go ahead and look at the last four principles in reference to self-examination. Letter E, self-examination should be a serious process. We should not take examining ourselves, evaluating our spiritual walk lightly. It should be a serious process. Psalm 77, verse 6, our psalmist says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. See, when we are taking a close look at ourselves, it is not to be done with a careless attitude. See, when you search your heart and examine your life, it is to be done with an attitude of seriousness and a reverence for God. We must make a diligent search. In all honesty, you know, if anyone knows where the bodies are buried in your life, it is you. You know where your shortcomings, you know your difficulties. So take that diligent search and say, search me, O Lord. Be serious about keeping those short accounts in your walk with the Lord Jesus. The words here, diligent search, from Psalm 77 in verse 6, come from a Hebrew word, kophas, which has the word, which was the word that was used to describe someone who would disguise himself and wander around among people to discover the information that he was looking for. His disguise would enable him to move freely in order to find what or who or whom he was seeking. See, we have all read stories of kings who practiced this to find out what was really going on in their kingdoms and what their people thought about their king. But dear friends, when we search our heart, it is to be done with diligence and thoroughness. I remember some years ago on the mission field, and another gentleman by the name of Paul, and Paul was a missionary there, and he would cut up once in a while. He had a great sense of humor, a big fella. He played on the offensive line for Akron University. He played football some years ago, and he got saved, and God got a hold of his heart, and he walked away from a career in football and decided to serve God. And as he was serving the Lord, we were talking one day, and he made the comment. He said, you know, preacher, like anyone else, you know, I still struggle with myself. I still have to just take that diligent search in my life. And we are talking, and we kind of had a relationship that Brother John and Brother Rob had. We always cut up and gave each other a hard time. And I said, well, how do you do it? How do you start your day? How do you do that diligent search? He says, well, I get up in the morning, I go to the sink, and I wash my face, and I look in the mirror, and I said, you rascal, what are you up to today? And he begins to think about his schedule, what he had done the day before, what he's got going on. He says, I have to be honest, my biggest problem is the man that I see in the mirror. And we'll get a little closer to more into that just a little bit later in the message this morning. But dear friends, as we look at the psalmist here, dear friends, if we must be honest with ourselves, because if we don't mean business, if we are not willing to honestly evaluate what is going on in our life, then we are wasting our time, because nothing will be changed or corrected. This isn't the greatest example, but it made me think of the aspect of when I take my car in for service. You notice how they always include that 26-point inspection when you just have air put in your tires? You have your oil changed? And the whole idea is to look over that car, I'm sure, to make sure it's safe, but I'm sure they're also looking for an opportunity to make some repairs and to sell you something that you didn't know that you needed. They do a thorough examination. And dear friends, we should look at ourselves in the same way with that self-examination. It should be a serious process where we look at ourselves and look for places that need improvement. Dear friends, if you falsely conclude that there are no problems or no mistakes, then there is nothing to change. There's nothing to improve. But in all honesty, we all have room for improvement. The psalmist also reveals an important principle of self-scrutiny. He thought about his life at night when all was quiet and he could reflect without any distractions. Dear friends, if you need to look at yourself, then find a place, find a time where there's no distractions, where you can get along with the Lord and you can listen to that still small voice. You say, Lord, show me what needs to be improved. Lord, show me what needs to be shaved and carved out of my life. Self-examination should be a serious process. And then next, or letter F, self-examination removes any doubt of salvation. By examining ourselves and examining our walk with the Lord, it encourages in that area. 1 John chapter 3, and we covered this some weeks ago, 1 John chapter 3, verses 20 through 22. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence. Condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. You see, when we examine ourselves and know that our lives are right with the Lord, it gives us confidence and removes any doubts that would hinder our faith. You see, the confidence we gain through self-examination gives us boldness in our prayer life and in our witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Self-examination gives assurance of our salvation. You see, dear friends, I know that I'm saved because I've had a time in my life on a regular basis to do that self-examination. I approach it seriously, and I have no doubts, no reservations, because I know of my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5. He says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be retrogrades. Are you pretending to be something that you are not? Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven? Are you just pretending, going through the motions, or counting on your church membership, counting on your baptismal? None of those have anything to do with our salvation. Our first step is putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ by repenting of our sins. Why do we need to repent? Because we need to recognize we need God. We recognize that we need Him, and turning from our sinful condition, turning to Christ and asking Him to forgive us and to save us. And then our first step of obedience is following the Lord in believers' baptism. Then the next step is getting involved in our local church that we might serve Him by serving others. And dear friends, again, don't pretend. Does your life match the description of Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5? He says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, for such turn away. Are we pretending? Are we living out our faith? Are we in disguise, as we talked about earlier? Are we truly, genuinely living the Christian life? Because we know that we know that we know that we're saved and on our way to heaven, and we're keeping short accounts. I have no reservations about my salvation because I know whom I have believed and know that He has me secure. Does, again, your life match that description? If you have never truly been saved, then repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Christ today before it's too late. Dear friend, you may fool people, but you cannot fool the Lord. Take that opportunity, again, as we examine ourselves, a serious process. Self-examination removes any doubt of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then letter G, self-examination leads us to the Word of God. If we are examining ourselves, we will find ourselves in the Word of God. So again, our psalmist tells us in Psalm 119, in verse number 59, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. You see, self-examination should direct our path to the Lord and His Word. So often today we have the idea that we are willing, most of us, not everyone, are willing to attempt anything as long as we can watch a YouTube video on how to do it. I may not know how to do it, but I can look it up, I can YouTube it, I can find a way to watch someone else to do it and study it and watch it, then I think I can attempt to do it. I may have to watch it 10 times. I may have to hit play for step one and then pause and do step one, hit play step two, do step two, but I can walk myself through it somehow, some way. Now, it's a shame, I think, today that sometimes that there's more Christians that are needed to be willing to reflect the Word of God in step one and step two. Let's get the introduction right. Let's put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then step one, begin to grow in grace by getting into the Word, being mentored, being discipled, and growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that comes through the Word of God. See, if there are matters in our lives that need attention, the Word of God will change us and prepare us to submit to Christ and correct and help us to correct what needs to be correcting. You see, if your life is lacking spiritually, then you should be honest with yourself and say, I need to get right with God. I need to get right with brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. I need to get back to the Word. I need to spend more time with the Lord. This is what the psalmist is telling us. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. It's examining of the Word of God which will allow us to do those things. It's that aspect of being serious and have a serious process. Just came to me, Brother Hunt. How do we prepare with projects and things that we want to do in our personal life to better us? And then ask ourselves, are we approaching the same thing and bettering our walk and our relationship with the Lord? Now, Michelle and I had a conversation yesterday morning, this morning, I can't remember. I hate to say this, but sometimes our conversations for me run together. It doesn't matter to me which day it was, as long as I remember the conversation. Amen, gentlemen. I always remember. But I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. If you get mad at me, you can tell me later. But Michelle has made a decision to go ahead and start her next book. And in order to do that, there's some things that she said that she needed. And she listed a few things. I won't list those things. But she listed a couple of things that she would need and help in order for help us to start that process, which means she was going to schedule some things a little differently around the house in her work schedule, which will be very similar. One day might swap for another, but she has to designate some time to work on these projects. So what was she doing? She was laying out the plan. She was having an approach and a process. And if I want to get this done and get it accomplished sooner than I did the first book, because it took her a long time from when she said she wanted to do it and actually finished it up. And then she said, I also want you to lovingly encourage me as we go through the process. So what I'm saying is here, she had a plan. She shared the plan. And this is what I want to do. This is how I'm going to do it. So what is our process in our Christian growth? God has provided everything we need. I'm going to have to buy a couple of things, make some purchases for her to start and to finish her project. And I have no problem with that. I'm excited about it because this has been something in her mind for many years that's coming to fruition and to start to move forward. I have no problem with that. Excited about it. But it started with a plan. Now, it's going to cost a little money financially for us as a family. It's going to cost her some time and dedication, which means there might be some times where I'm used to saying, honey, Michelle, which I do a lot, that I need to tone that down on certain hours of the day or certain days of the week so she can work. Now, for our spiritual walk, God has provided everything that we need. The only thing that's going to cost us is our time. Taking the time in His Word. Taking the time in prayer. Taking the time to invest in someone else, to minister and mentor them. And taking the time to let others maybe minister to you. There might be another brother or sister in Christ that, and please don't misunderstand, it's the only way I know how to do this. It might be here spiritually, and maybe you're here, iron sharpeneth iron. But there might be someone else that's here spiritually that you're pouring into, and you're having someone else pour into you so that you can elevate your opportunity to pour into them. So you should be pouring into others and also allow yourself to be poured into when it comes to your walk, gentlemen and ladies. It's a process, but once we make the decision to take that step of that process to better ourselves, because we want to be more like Christ and less like self, and so that process, God has provided His Word. God has provided His Spirit to comfort, to convict, and to strengthen us as we need it. And He's also provided a local church. He's provided a pastor. He's provided a congregation, a church family, that we might go through this process together as we labor in reaching our community, but at the same time, continue to grow. I'm not satisfied with my witnessing skills. I want them to get better. I'm not satisfied with my preaching and teaching. I want it to get better. Therefore, I read and I listen to other sermons and I get other guys and I listen to others so I might gain and draw more information to improve myself. And when I was a soldier in the military, I hung around other guys that have been around longer than me and learned from them and reaped from them in areas. And then I would also try to pour into others as well at the same time. It's that process of mentoring, and you should always be willing to be mentored, but also be mentoring for someone else as well, because it helps us to grow spiritually. There is a process, but God has made it available if we just take the opportunity. Just get involved. Just find out where you plug in and how you fit in, that you may give back as well as receive in your Christian walk. We need to examine ourselves, and we need to allow the Word of God. There is a serious process. This examination helps us to get over any doubts or reservation in our relationship with Christ and our service for Him, and it leads us to the Word of God that helps us grow. And then lastly, letter H, self-examination allows us to minister effectively, and I kind of crossed over into that here on my illustration. Luke chapter 6 and verse 41 and 42. Luke 6, 41. "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye." You see, self-examination and keeping short accounts with the Lord will help us to be a blessing as we minister to others. We will be able to help others get the mote out of their eye because we have removed the double standards and the inconsistencies in our own lives. You see, when we get our lives in order, we have much more credibility to help others who are struggling in their lives. These eight principles illustrate the importance of self-examination in the life of the Christian. When we look to someone to mentor, when we look for someone to help us to grow in the Lord as we think about getting our lives in order and having that credibility that we might help others, we want to look to people that have succeeded. We want to look at others that God is prospering and they are growing and there's no doubt that God is using them. And we want some of that information. We want some of that Spirit of God upon their life to be rubbed off on ours, so to say. And we want to learn and glean from them. We want to be around them. We know someone that seems to have a direct line to God and you know they talk to God on a regular basis. You want to talk to them about talking to God on your behalf. And we want to have that reputation as believers that people recognize and see the work of God in our lives. So as we self-examine and we look at the things in our life and the decisions that we make, where are we? Friend, if your path is about to destroy you, you should stop what you're doing and turn around. It is difficult to have a ministry with others when your own life is not what it ought to be before God. How can we pour into others, gentlemen, if we're not allowing the Lord to pour into us? And if we're not allowing the Lord to pour into us, anything that we try to pour into others is not going to be sufficient. It's not going to be right. It's not going to be what they need. We need to examine ourselves. I get so encouraged as I spend more time around our men and those that can make it on Tuesdays or some that can't. I realize that with your work schedule, when you can, you can. Whether you're there or whether you're not there, here's what encourages me, whether it's in the fellowship hall, whether it's men's prayer on Sunday morning or in the foyer, when I hear some of our men talking about what they're doing for their devotions right now. What book they are reading, what they have learned this past week, how God has challenged me in this area. That thrills my soul as your pastor to hear that. And I'm glad and I want to hear more of it and hear it on a more regular basis because that's what helps us to grow together. It helps us what builds relationships that we might grow in the Lord as we serve Him together. You must examine yourself in the mirror every day because that person knows you better than anyone else. Is he pointing at you and saying, you need to get the rubbish out of your life? Or do you have confidence because your life is right with the Lord day by day? What is a man telling you when you look in the mirror? Gentlemen, our spouses, ladies, our spouses know us better than anyone else. And we should be uplifting one another. We should be encouraging one another. I'm going to go out on a limb here. Who cares what time it is? Amen? I'm going to go out on a limb here. I was taught in the military. I was taught in counseling, taught in other things. You should always try to encourage people, give things positive before you give the negative. Or if you give something a negative, constructional criticism with some time that is needed, but also want to reinforce it in some positive things. And the best way for our relationships to grow better together as a couple, as a church, as our circles of fellowship. The best way for those to grow is that we're willing to encourage each other in what we are doing well and how we've blessed each other. If you're always tearing somebody down, why do they want to fellowship with you? If they're always being critical about things, then why? But let me help you as well. Don't ask somebody a question if you don't want the answer. But we need to find a way to present it in the right way. I've used this illustration before. I can look at my lovely wife and say, sweetheart, man, when I look at you, time just stands still. I could say it another way that means the same thing, but it's a lot harder. Sweetheart, you've got to face it with stop a clock. Now, I just said the same thing. One was very loving and one was very hard. One was in jest, one was in sincerity. But how do we encourage one another? How do we help each other through the process? How do we encourage a brother, a sister in Christ, a husband or a wife in their walk to encourage and elevate them and not tear them down? Who wants to be a part of a circle that you just get ripped on every time you show up? Who wants to come to a table for a meal if you just get ripped on every time you show up? We want to encourage and think of the best, being very optimistic. We've got 4 granddaughters here locally, and they're in school. And they thrive in some areas because they have some recognition that the school gives them. What do they call those awards? Yes, there's some like a character award. So if they're caught doing something good or they've done something well for the day, they get this little piece of paper that talks about character, or ethics, or friendships, or sharing, or love, or whatever it may be, and they take it home for the day. Maybe they keep it. I don't know, but it's a construction piece of paper. And when one of those girls get that at school, when they run home and they get home, the first thing they want to do is show mom and dad. If they're going to our house, they run back to the room, dig through their book bag because they want to show it and show grams and papa all the awards they got that week if we haven't seen them in a few days. They get excited about those elevations and those encouragement. But sometimes it's not there. Sometimes it's not reinforced in some areas. And I think it's something we can work on as we work on our relationships as Christians, as believers. Iron does sharpeneth iron, but the conviction of the Word of God will bring conviction. In our relationship as we mentor, sometimes we have to have hard conversations. But in that, I think we also need to be encouraging and uplifting and challenging one another to do the right thing. You see, we have lost so much today in our society. I'll talk more about that tonight. I don't want to get into tonight's message. But we've lost so much that we've become more of conflict than fellowship. And things don't affect us the same way. There's more of an impact for some reason. People are stronger in their language, and we don't talk as naturally and freely as we should. The other night, we went to the rodeo with our grandchildren and had a good time. And 2 of our granddaughters volunteered for the mutton busting ride for riding those sheep. They both signed up. Long story short, one backed out, got scared, and the one we thought would never do it did it and took 2nd place. But they got excited and they were enjoying it, and they shared their fears and they talked about it. And then our youngest granddaughter, who got afraid and didn't want to do it, but here's the point that I want to get to. Even though we thought she'd be the first one to get involved, she was the one that got on the back of the sheep and then changed her mind and didn't want to do it. I mean, that's the first time I saw her cry in fear ever. But her other sister did it. But here's Jovi. She's so sincere, so honest, and so open. And we lose this sometimes as adults when our relationships. We asked her, okay, Jovi, what happened? Well, I got afraid. I was really scared, so I just didn't want to do it. Fine. We took that. She was honest and open. Here's another example of her open and honesty that we need to have, I think, more of as adults. Jovi, how was your day in school? Oh, it was pretty good, but I got in trouble because I was cheating on a test. I mean, just blurted it out. I mean, just no problem. She said, but the teacher made me move, and I redid the test, and I got them all right. But she had no problem with just being open and honest. When's the last time we sat down with a brother or sister in Christ, sat down with our spouse, and was just open and honest about some of our failures or fears? Desires to want to do right. Desires to want to grow. How I need your help and your support because I want to get to hear in my Christian growth. But somewhere between 5 years old and whatever age it becomes, preteen or maybe even sooner, things begin to change and pride kicks in, and we don't allow those things to take place. Part of self-examination, as I try to close this morning, is being honest with the examination. Being honest. Okay, I've examined. I examined with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit has convicted me. Now I need to deal with it. How, and is the best way to deal with it? How am I going to move forward? Who do I need to talk to? You're diagnosed with cancer. What are you going to do? You're going to go see an oncologist. Because that's who specializes in it and not someone else. You know you're having a problem in an area. Talk to someone you feel that you have confidence to encourage you, to help you, to pray for you, to help you through this walk. If we can get that back in our churches, we get that back in within our fellowships, it'll cause those the fellowship that we have to grow in relationships to grow stronger, and therefore our church will grow stronger as we grow as a church family. But it starts with this loving warning to heed by John. Examine yourself. And then seek who can help you when you've had that examination through the Word. And say, Lord, help me to grow in this and through this, that I might please and honor you, and then also help another brother or sister in Christ. Let's stand together in prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning, and no one looking around will have a word of prayer and a moment or two of invitation. The Lord has spoken to your heart this morning. It doesn't have to be conviction. It could be thankfulness. But whatever the case may be, and the Lord has spoken to you, will you do business with the Lord, whether it be where you stand or here at an altar? But let's pray together. Father, we love you and do thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessings and the joy of service and fellowship. Pray now that you would help us, Lord, in this time of invitation to examine ourselves. And Lord, and also be willing to share, to grow, to encourage, and to be encouraged. Help us to be willing to mentor and pour ourselves into others, but also allow others to pour in us that we might better pour into others. Help us as a church to grow deeper relationships that our church may grow together as well. We ask in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed and eyes are closed, or pianos is playing. The Lord has spoken to your heart this morning and you need to do business with the Lord. Now's a good time. Whether it's a thank you, Lord, for the message, the reminder, whether it's, Lord, there's some things that need to change in my life. My self-examination needs to improve. I need to bring someone else in my life to help me to get through this that I might grow thereby and not continually get up and fall down, get up and fall down. But whatever the case may be, gentlemen, ladies, young people, if the Lord has spoken to your heart, why not do business with the Lord right now? Can each of us say, I totally surrender to you, Lord. Whatever you want, Lord, whatever you say, blank check is signed, Lord. Tell me what you'd have me to do. If all hearts and minds are clear, you can look this way. We'll be prepared to be dismissed in just a moment. And as always, God loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can be a help to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. And we'll get ready to be dismissed here in just a moment. Let's see here. Yes, sir. You may be seated in just a moment.
Blessings. Our pastor and his wife are an incredible blessing to us and our church. We wanted to give you a recognition of your 3 years of service here. with us, and we're so thankful for
you. She's going to want to trade.
It's hard for me.
Incredible blessing you guys have been to us, and we're so looking forward to our future. Love our church. We love everyone that's here, and we're just looking forward to seeing our church continue to grow.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Amen. Amen. I just want to say it's been a joy. We have had the time of our life. We're enjoying. Of course, we've all hit bumps in the road every once in a while. That's part of life. You're around people. But the Lord is blessed. We've seen folks saved. We've seen folks baptized. We've got a baptismal coming up next month. A new family's visiting. And we just trust in the Lord to descend us as He so desires. And just keep ministering where we're at. And I want to tell you, I would have been shorter today, but it's Brother Hunt's fault. Because you know, every time I comes up with something that just came to me, he gets tickled. And now, every time I see him, I think I've got to come up with something. So it's on the run. So at least two came up today because you're sitting right there behind me. But no, but we'll go ahead and have a word of prayer. And we'll make our way. Why don't you go ahead, Michelle, and join you. We'll make our way to the back here in just a moment. And again, we'll say we love you. Michelle, did you want to say anything? Yeah, so that we love you. We love our church family. We're so grateful for you. And again, we'll make our way to the back. And then.